that song this morning. Yes, I tell you what, it's good. It's good to know that there is a fountain that flows from the very throne room of God. Amen. That there is a fountain that has the sprinkling of God's blood, His righteousness in it.
Amen.
And if you believe in Him, if you can even think, contemplate of the mass of forgiveness that is in that fountain, and if you by faith would just step in, if you would just step in, if you trust Him with your life, with your love, with who you are, you lean into Him, and guess how many of your sins are forgiven?
All.
And as you notice, when I was singing that song, I didn't use sins in the plural. I used sin as the seed of my problem.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Oh, it came over me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Doesn't it?
That's good.
Oh. Last couple of weeks, we're talking about that inheritance that we have through Christ Jesus, right? And as we're talking about the inheritance that we have in through Christ Jesus, He said in the Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, Jesus has that inheritance reserved for the overcomers.
Amen.
So that brought me to thought over the sermon that has lasted for 2 weeks now, maybe longer. The overcomer. The overcomer. Those who face the adversity and overcome those adversities, not in their own strength, but through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who are able to hold on to the truth of God regardless of the wickedness of our time.
Right.
Those who have the hope that goes way beyond their vision, their mind, their ability to think. To know that God is Jesus, God, manifested in flesh. Died, He loved you, He died for you.
Mm-hmm.
And He came to set you free, to let you to come into that fountain of God, into that fountain of grace. As we were going over the study and we're looking at it, the overcomer first and foremost must be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot be an overcomer, a true overcomer, unless you're born again. Alright? And Jesus said, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't begin to understand it. You can't wrap your mind around it. See, that is reserved for those who have truly trusted God. That's reserved for those who have leaned into His Word above their own understanding. That deep relationship that God has with His creation is for those who will believe.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And if you do believe, it opens up victory. Victory in Jesus. That's what it opens up. It opens up the ability to be an overcomer regardless of the things that might come against you. It opens up to understand that you are indeed, you have a seat at the table with the Most High God. Right? And that's what we're overcoming, the doubts and the fears of this world for the victory that's yet to come.
Amen.
It's overcoming the hardships and the trials and the things that are happening here in our time, because we got something better in the eternities to come.
Thank God.
Amen. So to be an overcomer, first and foremost, you must be a servant, a follower of Jesus Christ. Something that we learned last week to be an overcomer, you need to successfully resist temptation.
Amen.
All right? I'm not saying that you won't be tempted. It's okay to be tempted. But learn how to resist the temptation. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of the Holy God in you. You're a follower of His. Then you know before you get into sin the thing that you're going to, right? Because the Holy Spirit of God leads you into all truth. That Holy Spirit, He brings you as you're walking through this world and you're about ready to step into a snare, a booby trap of Satan. The Holy Spirit says, stop right there. Hold on. Look at where you're at. Look around at your surrounding. Check what you believe, because the truth is with you and you're about ready to step in something you ought not be in. Right? So, and then when you hear that, the successfulness of living past that temptation to do the thing that's anti-Christ.
Right.
You say, wait, anti-Christ? Yeah. If you're doing things outside of the will of God, you are doing things that are anti-Messiah,
Amen.
Anti-Bible, against the Word.
Right.
lot of folks say, well, I can't be the Antichrist.
Well, you might not be the Antichrist, but you might have the spirit of Antichrist leading you into all rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, we need to be aware of that. We need to be successfully resisting what the Word of God says. And, and how do you do this, you might ask? Can I do it in my own power? No, you cannot. It is not within you, outside of the confines of Scripture, to even allow you to come to that place of successfully overcoming the temptations of this life. Amen. So, James, if you'll open your Bibles to James chapter 4. And this is a recap from last week. James in verse 7, he says, actually, let's start in verse 6, all right? Because I like verse 6 a lot. But he, who is he? He's God, he's Jesus, all right? He gives what?
More grace.
Who needs a little bit more grace? I do. I'm proud. I praise God for the grace I got. I can use a little bit more. You know why? I am a sinner. Right? And I need the grace of God to lead me from who I am to who I need to be.
Amen.
How often do I sin? Every day. All right? And it's not that I purposely live in sin, but because I am a human being and I am part of a fallen nature, I am a sinner. And guess what? So are you. So jump off your high horse and get in the mud with me. Right? Because understand who you are first and foremost, that you have sinned and come against the glory of God. But God, who's rich in mercy, amen, He's given you that more grace. And He says, but He gives more grace, wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
All right? So if you're proud, you're saying in yourself, well, I'm better than that. I don't do that. Look at me, I'm so good. If I could pat myself on the back, I would. Oh, look, I'm such a good people. Wait, He's resisting that. God's coming against that thought process.
No.
Because you ain't good.
No.
So you come to God as an empty vessel. Lord, I am a sinner. I need Your grace. I cannot do this without You. I humble myself before the most mighty, powerful God, the speaker of the universe. I humble myself before Him, and He gives me more.
He
does. Amen. He gives you. He covers you more. But if you're proud and you're uppity, that's what we call, if you're too uppity, God will resist you. Who wants to be resisted by the Holy Spirit? Being fought against by God. I tell you, folks, you need to be careful.
Amen.
He says, here's how you do this. You submit, therefore, yourselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
How, submit to God. If I'm going to be an overcomer and I know I cannot overcome the temptations of this world by myself, who do I need to be submitting to?
God.
All right? I submit to God. I give His will over top of my will. His way over top of my way. His thoughts over top of my thoughts. His love over top of my lust. Amen? And you do that. You live that way. You put that as a portion of your life. And then you have a key thing in the next part of this verse. He gives you the power, the authority to be an overcomer. Only through the submitting to God gives you the power to resist the devil. You cannot resist your flesh. You cannot resist the devil in and of your own power. You do not have it in you. He's an angelic host. He's been around for a long, long time, and He knows the character of the human race, and He will trip you up.
That's right.
If you think that you can do a little, huh?
He
will, amen. He'll catch you in a snare, and He'll choke you to death.
That's right.
You can't trust Him. Amen. You can't trust. You cannot trust yourself. You've got to submit to God, His will, His way. Being totally dependent on Jesus, His direction, His purpose, and His strength. It's not in and of yourself you're able to do this. That's why we need. Do you know that you're a needful person? You need Jesus Christ if you're going to be an overcomer. And not only do you need Jesus Christ, you need the assembly.
Amen.
Right? I need you guys, and you guys need me. We are a body joined together through the unity of the Holy Ghost, through the unity of the baptism, in the oneness of the power of God.
Amen.
I am not the person, I cannot be the person God needs me to be without you guys. I can't do it. And you know what? You can't do it. There are no Rambo Christians out there. You know? You're not going to be able to do it on your own. And when you separate, when you divide from the body, when you pull away from the unity of Christ, you're causing yourself to be weak.
That's right.
When does the tempter come? When I'm by myself. When I'm weak, when I'm by myself. And I can be praying hard, I can be fasting hard. But when I'm not in engaged, right, engaged in the body of Christ. I'm in Christ, but I'm on the peripheral edge. I'm weak. I'm vulnerable.
Right.
And I really can't resist the way that I should.
The lion gets you.
Know that our adversary is going like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's looking for you. He's looking for you to be on the outside of where you need to be.
Yeah.
Not submitted to God. If you're not submitted to God, you are lambs to the slaughter. Amen? You are fodder. Cannon fodder. That's all you are. How much fodder can I say? Stop. All right. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Amen? Oh, I need to resist the devil and he will flee. After you submit to God, that gives you the authority of God.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Satan cannot touch you. Demons cannot touch you. They cannot hurt you. They cannot harm you as you're submitted to God.
That's right.
All right? Demons are real. Lucifer is real. There's a real war going with powers and principalities in the heavenly places. And it is real. He's seeking whom he can devour. The enemy is. We need to submit to God that we need to be reading. We need to be in the Bible. We need to be fellowshipping one with another. We need those things that gives us the power to resist the tempter when he comes. That way we can quench the fiery darts that Satan is throwing at us every day. I need that shield of faith. And what makes my shield of faith work is when I'm interlocked with another saint who has a shield of faith. Amen? It works best when we work together.
That's right.
We need to be holding on to that. Draw nigh to God and He will draw near to you. And then He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You cleanse your hands. You! I cannot wash your hands for you. I can't do it. You've got to examine yourself. You've got to look down and say, yep.
Amen.
My hands are dirty. You know, what do I need to do? I need to go to that fountain. I need to go to where the fountain is. I need to get in the water of the Word of God. I need to get down in there and I need to take some of that holiness and cleanse my hands.
Amen. Good preaching, Pastor.
To be honest with God. To be forward with God. This is what we talked about last week. I still haven't got to this week's sermon. This is here. We can sing all night. I'll
we have enough food.
We got food left over from the cookout yesterday. And so we can stay here. We'll serve hot dogs at 12. Amen. So anyhow, submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God.
Amen.
You've got to make a decision to draw close to Him.
That's right.
Jesus paid it all. God so loved you guys, the world. He loves you so much that He said He gave Jesus. Right? Jesus said, no man takes my life, I give it. God loves you so much, He gave the very best. And that very best became human like us.
That's right.
To be tempted in every way, the same way that we're tempted. And yet without sin.
Amen.
That He could die in my place, in your place. The wretchedness that is in you, Jesus was tempted by that and died for you in that. Submit to Him. Submit to that truth. Submit to that goodness. Submit to that love. Because God so loved you that He gave. Right? He loves you. He knows your sin. He understands the hurt that you're in. He understands the corruption of the time. Remember when Jesus was on the earth, Rome was in Jerusalem. Right? Wickedness was in the streets. the ones, the Hebrews, that should have been knowing the day of their redemption, should have known, didn't study their Bibles enough to know that Jesus had come.
Amen.
Right? He said, if you, O Jerusalem, if you would have known the day of your visitation. But they didn't know. I think the church, the body of Christ today, we're so deceived.
Amen.
We're submitting to everything except truth.
Amen.
We're submitting to the world. We're submitting to the government. We're submitting to false teachers. We're listening to heresies from the pulpit.
Amen.
People, we need to wake up.
Yes.
We need to draw nigh to God. We need to come back to the very cornerstone of who our belief is.
Yes.
And that is,
yes,
Jesus. He is the Christ, and He loves you.
Yes.
He says, draw nigh. Come unto me. Draw nigh. Get close to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that so much. Think of how Jesus drew nigh to you. How He came to you. Oh, now, and He's talking to those who are supposed to be born again. He's talking to those who have already trusted, who are already overcomers. Oh, I'm already an overcomer. I trusted Jesus Christ. That means, what? Oh, I know what that means. It means I need to draw closer to God.
That's right.
Right? Because why? I'm an enemy of the world now instead of an enemy of God. I'm a friend of God. And the enemy is after me because I deserted who I used to be. Right? I deserted the old ways of the flesh when I became a new creature in Christ. And I pray that you have. Oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't mean it. Really? Okay, here we go. Hold on. You can say a prayer and not get saved.
That's right.
You know that?
Uh-huh.
You can make a confession with your mouth and never be converted in your heart.
Exactly.
And I know that that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's happened. And I want to burst your bubble. Okay? I want to burst your bubble. Because I would hate to see you make a confession with your mouth and not repent and not be converted and be condemned to hell.
That's right.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
It is not a joke. It's that's why you've got to draw nigh to God.
Amen.
You've got to draw closer to His Word. You've got to draw closer to the Christ. You've got to cleanse your hands, you sinners. You've got to purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make up your mind whom you are going to serve.
Amen.
Make a choice.
Amen.
I pray that you'll choose Christ.
Amen.
I pray that you'll choose the Word. But you can't be double-minded. When you're double-minded, you're tossed about by the winds of the world, right? And you have no firm standing if you're double-minded. Make up your mind.
Amen. Right.
Then He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He's talking about who you are, the sinner that you were born into. Do you look at your life as it's been ravaged by sin? Right? Well, I mean, be honest with yourself. God already knows how wretched you are.
That's right.
Right? Now, He wants you to know, if you humble yourself,
yes,
to that, if you get afflicted and you mourn, God, forgive me, a sinner. Right? Yes. Oh, I know. I know how wicked I am. And my two favorite words in the whole Word of God. But God. Amen. I know how wicked I am. But God so loves me.
Yes.
And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me.
Yes.
You, us, the world. Right? He died to take the sin of the world.
Oh,
submit to Him. Look at yourself with honest eyes and be afflicted of who you are. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Look at that. Look at how He says, tear yourself down. When you tear your, you humble yourself before God, you admit that He's right and you're wrong. You admit His way is the only way, that He is Yahweh and your way really doesn't matter that much. Your thoughts and His thoughts are so far different, and you need to hold on to His thoughts because you are a wretched sinner.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And God loves you. So you submit to that. Not, submit's the wrong word. You acknowledge that.
Surrender.
Surrender, yes.
Absolute surrender.
You've got to. It's not partly. It's not just, I'll surrender the parts that everybody sees. But you surrender the real you. Right? You surrender that thing that's keeping you away from the holiness of God. You surrender that. You kill it. You sacrifice it unto the Lord. He says, humble yourselves. That's that humbling. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know? You don't have to humble yourselves inside of your pastor or your priest. I mean, I can't save you.
No.
I can't do that. I need to come before God, God the Creator, who knows me inside and out. And humble, be honest, afflicted, mourning, tearing my heart, rending my heart, not my clothes, not the outside, but the inside.
Yes.
And when you do that, He will lift you up.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, get a picture of this. You come to the wretchedness that is really in you. You admit that. You fall down broken. You're so broken. Like that woman caught in the very act of adultery. Right? She was about ready to be stoned to death. And they brought this poor, wretched, miserable whore before God. He says, they said, we got the right to kill her. We can stone her to death. The law says we can. You know what Jesus did?
Amen.
Got right down beside that poor saint. That poor woman. She's weeping, bitterly weeping for her life. And oh, no telling how she got there, but she was there, and she was hurting, and she's about ready to lose her life. Jesus stoops down, and steps right in there. And then those who were accusing him, from the eldest to the least, the old men to the young men, dropped their stones and walked away. I don't know what he wrote, but it touched their hearts.
They heard it.
I'm glad it doesn't tell me in the Word of God what he wrote. Right? Because then I would use that. Right? So all I know is what he did. What did Jesus do? He met this poor girl in the middle of her hurt, in the middle of her pain, in the middle of her guilt.
Yeah.
And he touched her. And he wrote on the ground. And then when her accusers had left, he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't see it. Says, I don't accuse you either. Get up and sin no more. See, we often we leave it on that get up. Get up. Alright? That's the humbleness, that's the brokenness. And then you see Jesus rising this poor child up and then giving her strength to be an overcomer. Get up and don't do it again. Amen? Get up and don't do it again.
Right.
In my opening statement, Overcomer Part 2. Here we are. You ready? Overcomer Part 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. He said, I believe who wrote Hebrews was either Paul himself or a student of Paul, somebody that was really close to him. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Say amen when you get there because I don't want to leave you behind.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. 10 and 22. Well, actually, let's start in 20. Having a high priest over the house of God. Woohoo! We got a high priest. His name is Jesus. Amen. Over the house of God. Who are you?
The house of house of God.
You are, amen, Joe, you're right. You are the house of God.
Amen.
You, and you have a high priest over top of you. I don't want to raise the roof. I want to stay under the roof.
Raise the roof, right?
Don't do that. We need to let the roof, the ceiling of God to be on us all the time. Verse 22. Let us draw near. Amen. There it is again. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Let us draw near with a true heart. Did you get what he's saying here? To be an overcomer, you need to be honest before God.
Amen.
Draw near to God with an honest, open, true heart. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Like I said before, he already knows that you're a sinner.
Right.
He knows the sin, the decrepity that is... Decrepity. He knows the mess that you're in. He knows you already. So you be honest with him. You be honest with God. You acknowledge that He is holy and that you ain't. You acknowledge that He's right and you're wrong. You acknowledge that He is God and you are a creature. Amen?
Yeah.
And you acknowledge that with the fullness and then in full assurance of your faith. Now, do you believe what you say you believe is real? Right? Do you have the assurance of your faith? Now, this is what I know. This is where my faith lies. This is why I know I am going to heaven when I die. It's not because of works that I have done.
No.
Right? It's not because I'm a good guy. I'm a snazzy dresser. It's not because...
And y'all see, you know that I'm lying out of my teeth. I'm dressed, but it ain't snazzy.
Anyhow, you know, I know who I am.
That's it.
And I know who He is.
Amen.
And I know that He loves me.
Amen.
My assurance is in His love. My assurance is in His control. My assurance is that He is God.
Bless
Him. Amen. And He loves me from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. He knew my name. Right? Oh, He knows my name.
Amen.
And I have assurance in that. I'm assured of the faith that Jesus loved me, that He cleansed me with the sprinkling from an evil conscience. Oh, that is so beautiful. When you go back, because he's writing to the Hebrews here, and you go back to the time that the high priest would have this sacrifice, and he would take a branch of hyssop, right, and he would dip it in the blood and the oil and the holy water, that water. And he would take it and he would sprinkle the crowd with the blood for a temporary cleansing.
Right.
God took the perfect lamb.
Amen.
Himself. God manifested in flesh. He took His blood and He dipped it on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And He said, anybody who comes to this fountain, I'll cleanse you with the sprinkling of the blood of the Most High God.
Yeah.
I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's where my faith lies. It's not in my works. It's not in how good I am, because I ain't. It's not in how I look or how I talk or anything about me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what He does. It's all about His love. It's all about His grace. It's all about His blood sprinkling over me, over you. Question is, do you stand close enough to the place where the sprinkling is happening? Do you come to the cross of Calvary broken and humble and desiring that blood to be dripped on you?
Yes.
If you do, then you can be cleansed from how much unrighteousness?
All.
I like that. It's all unrighteousness. From my heart is sprinkled, and I like that because I don't know. I'm trying not to be crude. Can you see me wrestling here with my flesh? Right, my mind's going one way. Anyhow, I've been around some blood, right? Deer blood, human blood, that, and it all smells, right? Anybody who's ever been around surgery, blood has a smell to it, right? It's not nice, right? I don't want that on me. Okay, he says, sprinkle your hearts. Right? It's not about the outside like it was in the old days. It's about the Holy Spirit of God taking His righteousness in and sprinkling you with that. Cleansing you from the unrighteousness of your life to the holiness of His sacrifice. Right? From cleansing, having my heart sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with that pure water.
Praise
Amen? Lord. See, I need to be washed on the outside, but I need to be cleansed on the inside. I need the cleansing from my unrighteousness.
Amen.
The understanding, if I draw nigh to Him with a true heart, if I draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to me. If I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sin. That's where my faith lies. That's who I believe God is and how He loves me where I am at. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. All right? Hold fast without, like it said in James a little while, you need to know. I know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We just sing this, don't we? Mm-hmm.
I know that I know that I know.
There you go. I know that I know that He knows that I know. Amen. I know, and my faith is in that. It's not in anything I can do. It's His grace. It's His goodness. Let us hold fast to that profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised.
Amen.
He is faithful. If He promised it, He is faithful. Amen. Amen. Even when I'm not, He is.
Right.
All right? And so we need to be honest and open before God with that.
Yeah.
Yes, God, I sin. I am a sinner, but God. All right? I love You. Thank You for the cleansing. Thank You for the confession. That's when I pray. When y'all heard me do this, you heard me do it this morning. Before I start intercessing for other people, I get clean.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I get clean. Because I want my prayers. I take prayer real. I mean, it is real to me.
Real.
And I see myself entering into the very presence of the Most High God. And I want to be right when I get there.
Amen.
Right? I want to be right. I want to be cleansed by the washing of the Word, by the washing of the blood, by the sprinkling of my heart from an evil conscience. So I confess my sin before God. And although I may say in y'all's ears, God forgive me of my sin, I'm very particular with God what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Right? Because God already knows me and He knows what I've done. He knows the pride. Normally, I'm sorry I'm chasing this rabbit down a hole, but I think it's meaningful to somebody here. I'm not saying this boastingly. I don't have much outside sin, right? I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't chew.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an adulterer. I don't watch weird stuff on the internet. I'm not there. That's not me. But I do have sin that's in me.
Yeah.
I have a pride, right, that God needs to kill. Right, and if I don't confess that before the Lord, my prayers ain't gonna be harmed. I have a fighting spirit within me, right?
Yeah.
Right, and it's still there. I haven't been in a fist fight in a long time, but I used to fight, right? And that dog is still here. He's still alive, but he's chained to the cross of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
So I know those things are in me. And I got to confess them before God, right? Before I pray, before I intercede, before I call your name before God, I call my name before God, right? And I get cleansed from that, all right? And then I hold fast my faith without wavering because He is faithful. Let us consider one another, all right? Think about each other. I need to consider you. Y'all, I've already confessed my sin before you. You know something about me. Now, I got to consider that you guys are just as wretched as I am.
That's right.
You know, you're just as bad as I am. I mean, I'm just as bad as you are. Let me put it that way. I'm just as bad as you guys. I got to consider that. Mm-hmm. And in that, then I am to provoke. If we're going to be overcomers, I need to provoke you.
That's right.
And you need to provoke me to good works. I need to get behind you and encourage you to do the things that God has called you to do. I need to get behind you, to get with you, to bring us together to fulfill the calling of God.
Amen.
Amen? That's why He says not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. All right? I ain't going to get into the virus thing or nothing like that. Let's just stick to the Word of God.
Because he was writing this before the coronavirus came out. Covid-19. Before 19 came out, right? And he said, don't forsake the assembly.
Amen.
All right. How many people on a regular Sunday before the virus came out would forsake the assembly? Mm. All right. Well, gee, and I really would love to come to church, but, you know, I got a golf game to go to. I want to come to church, but I'm watching WWF on TV. All right. I love to come to church, but I need to mow the lawn. I love to come in the body of Christ and build up the body, but, you know, I work so hard, you know, this is my one day of rest. And God said rest on the Sabbath. Well, then you should have rested Saturday, okay, and come to church on Sunday. Don't forsake the assembly. You know why we shouldn't forsake the assembly? It's not for you, but it's for the person next to you.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And y'all folks who only come once a month, first, shame on you. Because when you're not here, the body of Christ doesn't work properly.
Amen.
Right? Because we need you.
That's right.
To fulfill what God has called us to. Right? Yeah. And you say, Pastor Kobe, shame on you. Well, yeah, shame on you. If you don't come to church faithfully, and it's not, again, it's not for you. It's for the person that's
Amen.
Next to you. Because that person needs you more than you think.
Yes.
You don't think you... I need you. Oh, I need you. Okay,
praise
stupid joke.
Lord.
I'm just going to run down this.
Praise the Lord, Kevin.
You know the song, I Need You Every Hour, right?
Yeah.
And so anyhow, there's this guy and gal dating in church, right? And they're serious about getting married and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, if you're not serious about getting married, don't date. All right? Because that just opens you up to lust. And all that kind of stuff, you end up doing stuff you ought not do, right? So just don't do that. Anyhow, chasing the rabbit back down the other hole, he opens up the hymn book and he says, oh, darling, I need you every hour. I need you, right? And she takes the hymn book from me and she flips over and says, I'd rather have Jesus. That needs to be our thought. You know? Yeah, you might need me, but I'd rather have Jesus. Right? I'm sorry, every time that thing comes to my mind, that's what comes up. And so thanks for bearing with me as we chase the rabbit down. Let us provoke one another, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It becomes a habit. You know how easy it is not to go back to church?
Yeah.
You get into the habit of not being in the body of Christ, it becomes so easy you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why it's so important that this becomes a lifestyle. It's not a habit. This is a lifestyle
Amen.
Of worship.
Right.
And it comes into the fully submitting unto God. See, it's not easy to get away from our understanding of what things ought to be. Right? Because I think I deserve it.
Yeah. You know?
Praise God, I got mercy and not what I deserve.
Right.
Because if you really got what you deserve, you would go to hell. Yeah. That's what you deserve. You're a sinner. And anybody who's broken the law of God deserves condemnation and hell. That's what you deserve.
Right.
But God, right? Yeah. But God, He calls you out of that and into His righteousness and into His life and His love. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10:35-39, he says, this is about overcoming. We need to cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. All right? Hold on to what you believe.
Amen.
Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't cast it away.
Amen.
Don't trust something else. Trust the Word of God. Cast not Amen. Away, therefore, your confidence, which has great reward, recompense.
Amen.
All right? What I believe in Christ and what I know that God has done in me has a reward.
Amen.
I'm holding on to the reward that I haven't got yet. There's a payday coming. Amen?
Amen.
As I'm at the beginning of the week is Monday. Right? I'm going to work all week, but on Friday, guess what? There's a payday coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right now, you're somewhere in that week, and there is a payday. There's a reward for you, a recompense,
Amen.
If you don't walk away. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, all right? What have
you done? You have done the will of God. Therefore, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you've done the will of God. What's the will of God? Come on, anyone.
Obedience.
Oh, baby. Right? Love God. Love your neighbor. Right? Love others like you. But first you've got to submit to God. You can't even resist the temptation until you submit to God. You can't be an overcomer until you stop struggling. Right? When you stop struggling, then God does these things in you. You submit to Him, you rest in Him, and you allow Him to lift you up. You trust in His Word more than you trust in your flesh.
Amen.
You follow the knowledge of God and not the deceitfulness of your heart.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so that you might receive, I want you to receive, that for a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, I love that. Who's coming? Jesus. Jesus is coming. He said he's going to come. He's coming. And he's not going to tarry. He ain't waiting around. Mm-hmm. When he comes, he's going to come when? Exactly when he was supposed to come. Exactly on the day he was supposed to come. There, he will not be 1 second late, and he won't be 1 second early. All right? It is a divine appointment, and he will be here when he needs to be here. So you hold on. You hold on to your faith. You don't forget who you are. Verse 38. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. The just are going to live. I have faith that he's coming. I have faith that I'm an overcomer through him. And so I'm going to hold on to my profession of faith until he comes. Or until I die.
Amen.
Whether I walk the veil with him or I meet him in the air. Whatever it takes, I'm holding on to what I believe. All right? Who I believe in. Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. If you stop assembling together, if you stop loving one another, if you draw back from the Word of God, God's Word says here, my soul ain't pleased with you. Who wants to be pleased in the soul of God? Amen? A lot of folks don't preach this because it's uncomfortable. Because God's all about it. It's all unicorns and rainbows, baby. That's all you got to worry about. No, there's a realness. You can fake it until you go to hell.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But on that day, everything's going to be known.
Amen.
So you need to make up your mind today.
Amen.
Who you're going to serve. Okay? But we are not of them who draw back into destruction, perdition. Let me ask you, have you been pulling away from Christ? If you're pulling away from your relationship with God, if you're pulling away from the Word of God, you're pulling away from your prayer with God, you're leaning into your thoughts and not His thoughts, destruction is at your doorstep.
Amen.
Destruction is at your doorstep. That's why you cannot, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, destruction. So don't quit. Don't draw back. You always push forward. In the army, if you're a coward and you're running away, a deserter, you know what you get? Shot. Right? By your commander. He pulls you out in front of the firing squad, gives you a cigarette and a blindfold, and then puts a hole in your head. Don't draw back.
No.
There's a payment there.
Amen.
Right.
We live a life of joy continually.
Amen.
Absolutely surrender. Okay, God, no questions.
No questions. I don't need to know the answer
because
He is the way. You know, who here as a kid ever went to in a car somewhere and you didn't know where you're going? I did all the time. Jump in the car. We're going to wherever we're going to. And all we ask is, are we there yet? Right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Jesus is driving our vehicle.
That's right.
See, when you were a kid, you didn't ever ask your dad, are you lost? No. Do you know where we're going? Right? If you did, well, in my car, if you did, you got smacked in the mouth. You know? There were no seat belts when I was growing up. So the way that Mom would do it, she'd turn her ring around because she didn't want to cut your lip, and she'd just smack the stew out of you, right? Love, and absolutely. And that, see, you are safe in your seat. And I have three sisters. And so,
she understands.
And so, in that, do we really believe that God is in control and He knows where He's going?
Amen. That's it.
Are you on the bus? Yes. Right? Then stop asking questions. Stop trying to get off the bus. Stop turning away and going to destruction. You know what happens if you jump out of a moving vehicle because you ain't sure where the vehicle's going? You die. You know? You jump out and you hit a fence post, or a whack, or you hit a truck or whatever. It's not good to jump out of a moving vehicle. You get scraped up, you get beat, you get bruised, and you might die. Right? So anyhow, God's driving the truck.
That's right.
You hold on to Him. You don't jump out and go to perdition, destruction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you believe to the saving of your soul.
Amen.
That makes you an overcomer. You believe to the saving of your soul. How long am I going to believe in Jesus Christ? Until I see Him face to face. Amen. Because when I see Him, I don't need to have faith no more. I got the real thing, baby. Right? I got the fullness of God. So my faith is going to be strong as long as I'm on this planet.
Amen.
And I will be longing to see the face of the Most High God. And when I get there, because I know what I'm doing here,
that's right.
I'm an overcomer already.
Yes.
Amen? I'm already an overcomer. And being an overcomer, now I have an inheritance.
Amen?
I got an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Y'all got a few seconds? This is one of my favorite scriptures. Amen? They're all my favorite scriptures. I know of them.
Ain't preaching so long.
Right? Well, praise God, I ain't preaching as long as Peter and Paul did. You know, Paul preached all night long. Right? Like I said, we got sandwiches in the refrigerator if you're hungry.
Okay,
we can get something. Amen? Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. Because I am in Christ.
Amen.
And I know who I am in Christ.
Amen.
You know, nothing can separate. He is faithful that promised. Nothing can separate me from that. Same in Romans chapter 8. Anyhow. 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? All right. Who condemns you? Who's the accuser of the brethren?
Satan.
Amen. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. All right. How am I an overcomer? Through Jesus Christ. He's doing what? He's interceding for me.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm holding on to my confession of faith. I'm holding on to what I believe in. Jesus Christ. And now that I'm holding on to that, who's able to separate me from the love of Christ? Who is able to separate you? Can I separate you? If you're holding on to Jesus Christ, can I separate you from that?
No.
Right? There's nothing that you can do that's going to... So what if you pull out my fingernails? I'm still going to love Jesus. Go ahead, pull them out. Keep me from biting them. Right? All right, and listen, you hating me is not going to separate me from me loving God.
No.
Who can separate us from the love of Christ? How about tribulation or distress?
No.
Or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? I'm not going to quit loving. I'm not going to be removed from Christ regardless of what happens to my flesh.
Amen.
Right? And He is faithful that had promised. He'll do it, all right? As it is written, that for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
You're an overcomer regardless of what they do to you.
Right.
All right? It does not matter what Satan or the evilness or the wickedness or this life matters or that life matters or burning the streets down. None of that matters.
No.
None's going to separate me from God.
Amen.
No, I don't care what they do. I'm going to trust God. All right? And even it says, for it is written, I am killed. Are you ready to be killed for the slaughter? Are you ready to stand up for the righteousness of God Even though he slay me, yet shall I trust him.
Amen.
Job cried out. Right? Even though you kill me, I'm going to trust God. Even though you take my job from me, I'm going to trust God. Even though whatever has to happen, I will not forsake the assembly.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to trust him above whatever the world has to say.
Right.
I will not be so afraid. He says in verse 37, nay, and all these things, we're more than conquerors or overcomers, you just put there. You're more than a conqueror through him, through Jesus,
Amen.
That loved you. How am I able to be an overcomer, a conqueror? Through Jesus. First things first, you've got to love God. You've got to love him more than anything else. You've got to trust him more than anything you see. You've got to know him fully. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, I like that, because we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. All this garbage you're seeing throughout the world ain't going to separate me from Christ. You know, it ain't, you know why? Because I'm holding on to him. I am holding on to him. I tell you what, it's like trying to get a stick of candy with a ball on. What is that? Lollipop from a baby, right? It's easy as taking candy from a baby. Obviously, you ain't never tried to take a piece of candy from a baby. They don't let go easy, right? I am persuaded that neither death or life, angels, or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor the things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Are you persuaded?
Amen.
Are you set in that? See, if you're set in that, nothing's going to take it from you. But see, you've got to prepare your mind and your body for the fight before the fight starts.
Yes, that's right.
See, if you don't go to basic training, you'll be easily separated from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to hold on, if you don't know how to grow in faith, if you don't know how to draw near to God, if you don't know how to resist the devil, if you don't know how to walk in the righteousness of God, you can be separated.
Right.
All right? But I'm persuaded that me, and I hope that you can say that for yourself, nothing is going to separate me from that. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hand and feet and teeth and hair and skin and everything. I'm going to be on you like white on rice, right? And I'm going to be there. And there's no power in heaven and earth that's going to drag me away from
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Why? Because God is able.
Amen.
He promised it. And I'm holding on to his word above what this world has to offer.
Thank God.
So how are you an overcomer? Same way that we started a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Know Jesus Christ.
That's
it. Only through him. The only way that you're going to be an overcomer in this world or any world to come, the only way that you're going to be able to hold on is you must be born again.
Yes.
You must Amen. Be born again. And if you are not born again, and I'm not talking about saying a prayer, I mean converted,
yes.
changed, no longer in darkness, but now you're a child of light. No longer, oh, thank you, Lord.
He's just going to keep on preaching.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So,
don't we have a good time?
Amen. All right, we've talked about John 3:16 a lot today, right? We started out with John 3:16. How about 17, 18, 19, 20? Have you ever heard those? Everybody knows John 3:16. Ooh, I slid into home. I said the prayer. All right, how about 17 said, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How am I going to be saved? Through Jesus Christ. All right? All right, he that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm not an undercomer. I'm an overcomer, right? Right? I'm not condemned. But he that believeth not, if you do not believe, you're already condemned. Right? If he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Are your ears perked yet? This is what's going to send you to hell. right? This right here, this next verse, this is what, not save you, this is condemnation, all right? And this is condemnation, that light came into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Romans 1.
Amen. It's Romans 1. Yeah. It's Galatians 5. It's Ephesians 4. It's Revelation 21. It's throughout the whole Word of God. All right? This is what will send you to hell, that God, the light of man, came to save the lost, and you rejected it. Why? Because you would rather have sex outside of marriage. Why? Because you would rather be a drunkard than be a sober. Why? Because you loved your evil deeds more than you loved the righteousness of God. That's what's going to send you to hell.
That's right.
That's what makes you a not overcomer. That's what puts you under.
Yeah.
And under your circumstances instead of over your circumstances. Right? For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, for they were wrought or worked in God. Amen? Are you ready to come to the light? Are you ready to come to the light? Listen, God loves you, John 3:16. All right? But he also is a just God.
That's right.
And it's more than you saying that you love him.
Amen.
You need to have your deeds exposed, right? Be honest before God and walk in the holiness that he has provided for you. Choice is yours. The righteousness is yours to be had. What you do with this ain't none of my business, right? And that's between you and God. When you stand before the Lord God on your judgment day, he's going to look at you, and you can't blame it on me. You can't blame it on your mama, your grandmama. When he says, get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. When he casts you into hell, you're going to be standing on what you believed in Jesus Christ. Do you really believe in the name, in the authority of the only begotten Son of God? And if you don't, today's the day you need to start. Right? If you don't, if you're just a confessor and not a repenter, a confessor and not converted, if you just said it with your mouth but your heart still is drawn far away from God, today's the day you need to get it right. Because you know what? You're going to die.
That's right.
And there won't be no more chance. Now you might ask yourself, well, how do I do that? Well, it sure sounded good. Told me all these things, but I really don't know what to do. Well, ask God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You know, he hears the prayers of the repentant heart. All you got to do is ask him. God, here I am, a sinner. Save me. Can't save myself.
Right.
Right? And it doesn't matter if you tell me that. Because I'll see it in you.
Right.
If you're born again, there will be a change. There will
Amen.
Be a conversion.
Amen.
You know what will happen? You're going to start to want to read your Word.
Yeah.
That first thing when you get born again, first thing you want to do is open the Bible, and it becomes part of your life. The next thing that you're going to want to do is you're actually going to start enjoying coming to church. You know? My mama made me come. And when you get born again, you say, I get to come.
Amen.
Mama didn't make me. I had to get mama out of bed so I could go. Right? There's a change. You want to be here.
Yeah.
Those are a couple of things. And then God starts working on the outside stuff, you know. The person who's used to steal starts stealing no more and gets a job, right? You start going to bed at a decent time so you can get up and be with the Lord. You know you can't stay up to 5 o'clock in the morning and get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and spend time with the Lord? Just can't do it, you know? If you're doing that, just stay up. You know? But there is a change of heart starts happening.
That's right.
The righteousness of God starts becoming alive in your mind. That's how other people will know. It's not whether you tell me, and I don't want you to tell me, it ain't none of my business. And because I, as you notice, we don't take numbers here. You know, you've been to those churches, they got a little plaque on the wall, how many folks showed up, how much money they gave, and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that. You know why? Ain't none of my business. Right? My business is telling you the truth of God's love, truth of His Word. Your business is what you do with that truth.
Amen.
All right? What you do with this will determine what you really believe about God. So, if you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, or if you've said the prayer and never repented, how many here have said the prayer? All right? Did you really repent? I mean, ask yourself, look at the fruit of your life. Is there any change in you from then and now? Because you can say the prayer and have no change, guess what? I would seriously doubt your salvation. If you don't convert, if you don't change, if you don't get a different love, and it's not my saying whether you are or whether you ain't, but if you are, there's a real change that happens.
That's
right? A change that happens. Okay. I'm going to hush. All right. Bow your heads. I want you to pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the time that we've spent together. I thank you so much for the word that you've given us to hear today. I pray even now, Father, through the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, as you're moving across this crowd, these people, that you're touching their hearts in real personal ways. God, I pray that you're bringing them to the point of repentance, Lord. I pray, Father, for the saint that's here, Lord, that just needed to know that they are already overcomers in you. Strengthen them, encourage them, bless them. Help them to walk closely knit with you, Father, that the glory of God can be seen through them. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.